God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. I want to read you a scripture this evening found in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. How many came to have church tonight? Hey, I trust you didn't come to sing 3 or 4 or 5 songs and testimony and prayer and to preach and preach, because it may not be that way at all. You know that? Right. May not be that way at all. Listen, when I read your scripture text, don't you run down the road saying, I know what this preacher's going to do when I preach on, I'm ahead of you. You might have to turn around and come back. Well, you stay with me, will you? And now let me say this at the onset of this revival. That the more you say, ma'am, the quicker I get through. So if you get tired of being preaching, go to saying amen. And I must talk faster, something when people say amen. Oh, praise God. I'm glad this evening that I have this privilege. Brother Walker, thank you for the opportunity of coming and being in revival in Little Oklahoma. I'm not going to say it. I'm sure everyone saw my wife long ago. That is my first wife. I hope the last. I don't want 2, I don't want 3, I want 1. And I'm proud of her. We've been married ever since I was married at 7, over 17 years old. With this coming October the 19th, we'll be married 25 years. We have 3 children, 2 girls and a boy. None of them are hurt anymore. If you think that's not a sad or lonely feeling, you're wrong. I told my wife, I said, you raise him up for some old ugly boy to come along and steal him. And that's the way I felt about it. You know, I didn't have much of an outlook on Sunday morning, and I still don't, because all they do is get you dollars. You raise him up for some old ugly boy to come along, and they'll go off with him and leave you at home by yourself. I could not understand what my daughter saw in those boys every night, and I don't today. I'm not joking. I love them. God said I had to. So I love them. Lord Shane, our boy, he hasn't got a wife yet, praise the Lord. And I'm praying God don't give him one. Oh, no, I better correct that. You think I'm an awful man. And you'll know it before this is over. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Begin reading in verse 38. If you have your Bible material, turn with us. If you don't have it, bring it with you tomorrow night, would you? If you didn't bring a Bible, bring one tomorrow night. Because my wife tells me I mispronounce words or put words in them there. I leave some out and he is there. So, see, he does too. But anyway, bring your Bible and read along with it. And Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head. And also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he is ready to go, for he had not proven. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proven them. And David took him off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his whip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistines. Listen. And the Philistines came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David. He disdained him, For he was but a youth and ruddy, and of a fair countenance, and always liked to blink his red-headed, freckled face. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with a stave? And the Philistine called, Curse David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Hey, boy, that's a terrible threat. Then said David unto the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, in the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. Boy, he's doing this. And I will give thy carcass unto the host of the Philistine this day, unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with swords and spears, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. Hallelujah. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh unto David, that David hastened and ran to war the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took a piece of stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, but the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in David, in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistine saw their tent and was dead. When they saw that he was dead, they pray with me over the word of God. Father, thank you tonight for the word. Thank you, Jesus, for such a privilege that we've been afforded again to be in the house of God. Lord, anoint us this evening to serve with God, that we may enable us to preach the word of God in the way that you would have us do. Lord, may there be a special anointing and a special touch of God to rest upon us this evening. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Folks, I have read to you a portion of a very familiar story. That even the smallest of children could relate this evening. They know the story by heart. They know how it happened. But there was a time in the history of Israel. Israel came to face with their foe, with their enemy. And as they set back, and the armies of Israel were allowing this Goliath to defy their God and curse their God and curse their experience. Out of all the warriors in the camp, they were all afraid. Amen. They were all afraid. Listen, we're talking about men that had done battle for years and years and had shed blood upon the battlefield time and time again, but they're at a point today to where they're afraid. Then steps a young man called David. And David hears him cursing God and the armies of God. And he said, What is this that I hear? What is this I hear? And his brother said, David, go home, tend to your sheep, it's none of your business. I want you to know, I don't care how small or how great you are, brother, when it comes to God Almighty, you're a child of God. It is your business of what's going on. Can you say that? It is your business. I want to preach to you this evening on the ball. If doesn't take God very long to do his work if he has a vessel ready for use. Brother, God can make short work of the enemy this evening if he can find a vessel that's willing to be used of the Spirit of God. You might say, Brother Sheffield, but we're a small church. We sat out here in the country away from everyone else. Listen, I pastored a rural church in Texas, and one of the fieriest churches, one of the greatest moves of the Spirit of God that I have ever seen in the past in revivals and in church services. We had them at Pleasant Hill because brothers, there were vessels there in the congregation that was ready and willing to say, God, if you're going to use somebody, use me. God makes short work of the enemy when he has a vessel that steps forward and says, God, here am I. Send me. God, use me. God does not need a man with a proven armor. God does not need a man that's been proven by man. There were many all around, but God could not use them. He used David, a shepherd boy. I know it's a constant thing that people say, I don't have an education. I don't have enough education to get out in the world and to do the things I'd like to. I don't have the education to get in church and do what I want to do. Thereby, I will not do it. So that's only a defeat that the enemy shoved at you, that he wants you to believe you can't do it. But I like what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ with happiness. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, you're looking at a man that the doctor said would never live. And if I did, I'd never be a man of any kind. Amen. You're looking at a man that when he was 12 years old, God healed of leukemia, a dying body, a dying individual. But Brother God put life into this body again. I believe today that God's eyes are going to and fro the world, and he's searching for a vessel of honor that he can use for the glory of God. Well, I don't see how you can say that. I feel like I'm under the spell where the glory is coming out. God, David said, thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I know what he's talking about. The word said that God sought for a man to stand in the gap and to make the hedge. Let me tell you something. There's some gaps in the hedges tonight that some men need to step up through, some women need to step up through and say, God, I'm your man. God, I'm your woman. What do you think that I am? Whatever, whenever God you want, I'm the person that you're looking for. Our evangelist that we just closed the revival with has two sons in the ministry. And he said one of them was volunteered and the other one was called. I said, Brother, I believe we need some more of those volunteers in the house of God. Did you know it? We need some more volunteers in the work of God. We don't have to wait around for God to kick us and nudge us and tell us to get up and do it. But let's do it for the glory of God. It's not too great of a task. Look across the congregation. You pardon me if I switch and watch. Well, I can't preach with my glasses on, and that's why it gets to where your face is all this way, but I'm going to do it anyway. Not too long ago in a fellowship meeting, our sectional presbyter or presbyter made this statement. He said, when people come to church and, you know, we get ourselves parked all over the pews and around, and you look out across there and you see a lot of empty spaces. But he said, they're not empty. They're not empty. You know who's sitting on them? Angels of God. Oh, angels of God. Angels of God are sitting around us. Said, because when God looks down on one of his churches and it's not full, he said, you, get out of there. Sit on those pews with those people. Fill that house up to where the devil can't get in.
God can make short work
for what needs to be done. If we can get out of the vessel, then we'll thank God you use me.
God!
You and I use me for your glory, Lord. Look here. That David, he's not a man that knows the thing. Did you know it?
He don't know the first thing about life. And they told him, said, you better not go out there, David. You're going to get in trouble. He said, you listen to me.
You listen to me. God became in my sheep one time. My dad's sheep on the back side of the river out there. And a lion came. And he got one of my little ones. He said, you know what I do? I ripped their old lion off.
Somebody said, oh, David, he's pinned in another big tail now, instead of killing the lion with his bare hands. He said, that's not all. Another day a bear came in, and he got one of my little lions and took off with it, and he said, I ran it down, and I beat him into the ground. Brother, let me tell you, talking about a boy 14, 15 years old.
But he has a desire to be a shepherd, amen.
Let me tell you something. You've got to have a desire to serve God, amen. You've got to have a desire to shout in the presence of God. You've got to have a desire to dance in the Spirit if you're going to.
They just said, thank me, Lord, pour it out on me now.
I'm ready.
God looks down to know you, ain't you, just saying? You're not near as ready as you're going to be. Amen.
You're not near as ready tonight as you're going to be by this revival's over, because God's in this place. Hey, I didn't bring it in an anti-campaign. I didn't bring it in that Bonneville Pontiac. But I will tell you, it's already here by the grace of God.
Whoa, God's looking for people tonight. Looking for a vessel this evening that he makes short work of the enemy with. Glory to God.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hey, now wait before you get beside the table. Before you get to shouting, I want to say a few things. There's as much difference in these two young men, these two men that's doing battle in daylight and dark, you know? I'm just joking. You can shout me down anytime you want to.
Goliath, being 9 feet.
Mercy, what a man. Brother, that's enough to scare anybody half to death. I saw a man one time 7 foot tall, and I thought he was in a fire. Whoa. How did he get so tall? Well, here's an old David, and he's going out against a man that's 9'9". Brother, he's making this player for the Lakers, wouldn't he?
9 feet nine.
What's the length? I'd have to guess. And I'd say 450 pounds. If I'm 9'9", I know I'd weigh
I have to battle to be 205'11". So I know what I weigh about 9'9".
There's a lot of difference in these men. Look here. Look at old Goliath. He's meaningless. I just feel like he was fuzzy. Have you ever saw anybody, you just wondered how they got so fuzzy in the time that they live? Huh? Have you ever? You better enjoy this, but I ain't gonna preach more out here.
But I believe this boy was ugly the day he was born.
And he got uglier every day. But he was ugly, he was mean. Yeah, he was mean. Now don't kid yourself. Brother, if I was 9'9", I'd thump people on the head. Wouldn't you? You'd dump over the head and break both their ankles if you wanted to, if you're 9'9".
The sad thing about it was he had no recognition of God.
But he had a lot of recognition of Goliath. And I'm standing out here and I've cursed this whole army of Israel, any or all of you.
Now he wasn't particular about who cut up. So you can count. Are your brother David, they can come. Now, matter of fact, just the whole army of Israel comes. I'll kill all of them. Don't anybody talk like that, I'll look at him twice, wouldn't you? Well, that man might be as big as he thinks he is. He was ready to die for his cause. He was ready to die for his cause. And I believe he could have done anything he said to. But then out steps David. A little pilgrim. He buried 5 feet. The Bible said he was fat. In other words, he liked me. He blistered every time he got to see. He had a fair complexion. He was small. He is quiet. Had a pleasant smile all the time. No training for battle none whatsoever. But he had faith in God and not faith. And he was ready to die not for his cause, but he was ready to die for God's cause. Hallelujah. Brother, I want you to know it makes a vast difference of what you're ready to put your life on the line for. If it's for God, I want you to know that we're going to win. And this is one thing David knew. Mister, when he went out to that old giant 9'9", 450 pounds, he knew he was going to win. Amen? He knew that that little stone that he had put in that spring was breaking down. But God, he said, listen, sir, come to me the way you're dressed. Dressed in your armor like a big man. But he said, I'll come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'll come to you in the name of the Lord. And today, I will kill you, sir, because the battle is the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hey, make sure you get to give your wishes, girl, but you don't know how to make the wishes.
Oh, it has to be.
Wrong.
Huh?
God knows you didn't. You say, brother, I'm not much this way. Oh, getting into these things and getting involved. It's the only way you'll ever be blessed with God, get involved and get in the work of the Lord. The only way you're going to see this church grow, sure, is to make some sacrifices and do it for God.
Huh?
You know what David does? He put on Saul's armor. I'm going to show you something. Another man on that thing. Would you? No, I'm going to tell you something. Would you show me? Now look. Where's the young man?
In that
tent. Now what size he was. That's a 44 off of that hand on the door.
But where's Frederick?
Come back. He could butt it, he couldn't tell when it was. That's the way that he put Saul's armor on, and he hung down a fast and clean him, hung down to his knees, and he looked like this boy standing here. And he said, now wait a minute. If I go out there in this armor, I'm going to be the one that dies. I'm going to be the one that dies. So he said, I'll be the one on this Saul. I'm going to throw the arm away. But when I go out there, I'm going out there to win.
Right.
Amen. I'm going to win in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not going in the name of Saul. I'm not going in the name of David. But I'm going in the name of the Lord God of Israel. That guy is cursing today. I'm going out there. You know what Saul said? Well, okay. You know, if you just got to go, you just got to go. By the way, turn around, walk out the door, and said, you poor ignorant little guy. But Saul didn't know the cross that this man.
Hallelujah!
Can you hear me? He did not know God. The way that David.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Boy, boy.
Let me tell you, the battle's not won on the ability.
No.
It Did you understand the statement that I made? The battle is not won on abilities in serving God. It's won through submission to the will of the Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
You think short of that, you're going to lose. Huh?
Yes, sir.
For about 3 or 4 years, we run all over that country up there. Out in Arizona, when we pastored out there, we run all over that country. We had a boy that was playing high school football. His mother and dad had to be there. Nobody ever twisted my arm to go get me one chance to play football. Because I loved him. And I meant to be there to support him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Brother, it takes support to get people on the top. Huh?
I say this, if you want a top-notch pastor, back him up. Hey, man, I know what I'm talking about. I've pastored churches for 20 years, and I know that if a congregation is behind you, you're the best preacher in the state. You're the best preacher in the things of God.
I have seen shame on that team when they wasn't supposed to beat someone. I saw him one night. Now, you're talking to the boy at the time. He was about 6 foot tall, weighed 185 pounds. He's playing tackle. And there's a boy on the opposing team from Eloy, Arizona, that's the fastest in the state. When this boy goes by, it's like a bar. You don't see.
They run around the other side from this ball of ours,
and of course when they hit, they didn't block him. You know, they just let him go through.
When his eyes saw what was going on, and immediately he turned down the line, and I saw him go.
And I've been successful that day, okay. Brother, I stood to my feet, and I said,
get it, tackle it!
He never did catch him, did he? Fastest in the state of Arizona, ran down the line, cut through a hole, and caught his brother before he made a touchdown.
Amen! I'm talking about some moral support. Brother, when the team gets on its feet, when the fans start hollering, get them, get the job done, I want you to know it creates some excitement to those boys out there, and they do the job.
Oh, you say that works in sports, but it don't in church. Have you tried it? I think it's time we got excited and realize that the battle of God is not won on abilities, but it's won through submission to God. And all of this put on this would work. God's battle's never been won with man's equipment, did you know it? It's always been what God put in the hand. I'm hurt. Don't get restless. You know what he said in 1 Samuel? Get back up a couple of chapters. In 1 Samuel 15 and 22, the latter portion of that verse is this. Samuel talking to Saul, I believe it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the bad around. You know, I still believe in my own mind. Now, this is not in the Bible, and I've never seen it in biblical history, but I believe in the back of my mind, God and David had a conversation. Do you ever just talk to God without praying? I mean, I know you pray, but do you and God just ever have a talk? God might have told David out there, are you with the one I heard in my name? I don't believe David said, well, Lord, you know the situation. Pretty great. If I go out there, I'll be a good man. If I do go out there and come back, I might come back wounded. And never be able to do any, I'll never hurt you again. Can you see my side of it, Lord? I don't believe you said that, do you?
No.
God said, David, will you go? I believe David said, yes, sir, I'll go.
Hallelujah.
And that 9 foot 9 man will be brought down like tall timber on top of sand for the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
And he done it, didn't he?
Hallelujah.
He done it, didn't he? Because he knew that God was on his side, and the word of God said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What other assurance do you need tonight? Only that God is on your side.
That God is the first assembly of God in the little room of woman this morning. God's for you. God's for you. You can win that. You know, it looked like what they needed at this time was a man that knew something about that. Didn't it? Boy, it sure looked like they needed Saul, or they needed one of these big men to go out there and face them with Goliath and say, now look, fella, I've been down this road before. And if I have to, I'll stop your cold and then punch you in the jaw or something like that. No, God needed a man of God.
Hallelujah.
There comes a time, let me tell you, when nothing will fill the shoes but a man or a woman of God.
Yes, yes.
There is a battle when the devil is raging so that no one but the prayed up and the stayed up and the filled up and the getting it out for God is the one that God is going to call on.
People have said, I wonder what God don't wake me up like he used to. God's still giving calls in the wee hours of the morning.
Yes, he is.
And he's calling those that are closest to him. Yes. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Israel came to fall with us, said, we're going to king like everybody. Samuel said, you don't need him. They didn't need a king. They had God Almighty.
Yes.
But they said, we need a king, and we want a king for ourselves. So they got one. You know what happened to Saul? He done everything you can imagine against God. God still wants men, women, boys, and girls who will avail themselves to him. And you know that word avail means make yourself available. Make yourself available to God. Ladies, when you're through the house, cleaning house through the day, it doesn't hurt a thing to stop and say, God, I'm still here, right here in little Oklahoma, or wherever you're at. I want you to know I'm here, and I'm ready to work on you. Amen?
If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to stay, I'll stay.
Every time I get in the office in the church, it's a home. That's my prayer. Some of my people may think, well, what's the matter with him? I pray, Lord, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to stay. I'm willing to do whatever you do. And I'm sure some of them thought, well, what's the matter with him? Is he wanting to go already? But brother, I will avail myself to God to the point that when he speaks to me, my ears are attentive to the words of God, and my heart is to the place that it's been circumcised for the Spirit of God, and I can hear from the Word of God that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Brother, this church had better have our ear tuned towards God Almighty.
God's going to make short work of the devil one of these days.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I like what old Isaiah said. He said, Lord, I'm right here. Here am I. I'm available to be a God. Just go ahead and send me where you want me to be. And the word of the Lord says that the angel of the Lord took a coal. Took a coal of fire off of the altar of God in heaven, and he touched that man's lips.
Yeah.
He burned into his soul a message that only Isaiah could preach. Let me tell you something, God's looking for people that he can touch them a coal of fire from the altars of heaven. And brothers, we'll avail ourselves to the Spirit of God and realize that through this vessel, God can make short work of the enemy today. I believe that, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Only David, this to me, as I read this time and again, this is one thing that stood out to me each and every time. Only David was willing to offer it. The rest of them were scared. The rest of them were afraid they were going to die. I cannot believe it ever entered David's mind of dying.
Who knows that I don't know? And he went to the name of the Christ. Brother, not only did he go, he didn't just go up there and stand and say, well, Lord, that wasn't what we do. But he went out there and done the job. Let me tell you something. There's some jobs that need to be done for God. And I've told my people, I'll tell you just like I told them. Brother, the preacher and the Sunday school teacher and the Sunday school superintendent and the musicians are not the only ones God's expecting to do the job. Amen? He wants us all to work. All of us in our job. Never underestimate what God can and will do if he has a vessel for it to use. When I pick up that old guitar, I'd like for it to be ready to play. If it's not ready to play, I'm going to take it down to the music store and they're going to put a new set of strings on it. And it better fit like I want it to. I'm serious. Don't you think instruments of God, God expects the same thing out of us? You don't need to take time to tune us up to get us in check, but stay tuned up and in shape for God. You should be the vessel that God's going to use to send revival to the assembly of God's church in little Oklahoma tonight like there's never been a revival before.
Can be right here.
Huh?
We can make a Zulu Street mission in California look like a drop in the bucket if we want to for God. My, what it took to have it. You might be saying, but would God use me? Let me tell you this, if God can take someone that's backward as I was, if God can take a young man at the age of 12 years old and call him to the ministry and preach the gospel, he can use you. Huh? If he can take a young man that his body was wrecked by a cancerous blood cell, heal him and make him whole and call him into the work of God, ma'am or sir, he can use you. Oh, some people say, I can't do it because I wasn't raised in it like everyone else. That's the cheapest cop-out I ever heard in my life. I'm here to tell you tonight that God uses people that have failed themselves to God. The question is not, will God use me? Whether will I avail myself to God to be used in God? Is that it in a nutshell? Am I willing to be used of God? You might say, Brother Chelsea, you know, you know what I say to that second when somebody tells me they're too old? The only people I know of that's too old to do anything for God are dead. And there's not a dead soul here tonight. Boy, that was very sobering, I'm sure. But the only person that can't work for God is the one that the mind is not mature enough for God to use. I can excuse these children, you see. I can excuse them. God can excuse them. But I want you to know if we don't cry out to him, these children will cry out to God. Jesus Christ said, don't stop them from it, because if they don't cry out, then the rock will cry out. Mister, I'm going to glorify God. There's not anyone in the world that's going to get the reward in heaven that God has got for me. I'm going to be a vessel that is available to God. God's going to use me, the other sir. I need to be used. If you ever see this old body lying in the cake, you can say, old Shuffy will burn out for God. All that. If you ever see this body lying in a hospital bed, you can say, he gave it all to God. Brother, I have every intention in my life today being an open vessel that God can pour full of the Holy Ghost of God and be able to relate it to other people today.
Oh, I can relate to you stories and stories of what God has done in my life. I said there at the onset, I'm glad tonight I don't have a testimony of being delivered from drugs. I don't have a testimony of being delivered from alcohol. I was offered a job one time to play lead guitar in a nightclub. Well, I said, no. That is not why God gave me the talent that I have. God gave me to use it for God. And I'm going to use it for the Lord. Some people say, I can't understand why anybody wants you to play lead guitar. I don't care about who asks and who cares and who don't. As long as I spend what I have for God, that's all it is. Folks, listen to me. I'm promised.